welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is the president of the Christian Research Institute, headquartered in Charlotte, North Carolina. We're on the air because truth matters. Today's special program features Hank's latest equipping resource, Truth Under Siege.
A simple layperson without a platform who works for the glory of God in obscurity will have the Lord turn to him or her and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will give you many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord."
To know, love, and internalize the truths you need to win the battles we face, order Hank Hanegraaff's transforming message, Truth Under Siege, on audio CD. Call now at 888-7000-274 or go online to our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's our host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Indeed, truth is under siege, and there's a consequence to our ideas. So oftentimes we think that ideas come out of ivory towers, and scholars debate them and fail to recognize that ideas have consequences. And if you don't think ideas have consequences, just think back to October 1917 and the Russian revolutionary Vladimir Lenin. He was campaigning on the promise of change. And he led his Bolshevik party to victory, promising that change would come. And he was convinced that redistribution of wealth would draw heaven down to earth. And so the Bolshevik bureaucrats in Moscow began printing money. They began seizing church assets. They confiscated private property. They nationalized Russian banks and factories, farms, and they provided a system of socialized medicine. In fact, in 1918, Lenin introduced a cradle-to-grave healthcare system that utterly bankrupted the Soviet economy. And we would think that the utter failure and devastation that ensued in the wake of Lenin's failed socialist experiment would have precluded any other government from following the same foolhardy footprint. But it didn't. And all you had to do was think back to another October. This was 1949. Mao Zedong established the People's Republic of China, and he began a similar socialist experiment. It's called the Great Leap Forward. Well, ideas have consequences, and the Chinese economy was ultimately devastated. 20 million or more died of starvation. 20 million more died in re-education camps. And so many other examples could be given. But truth is, ideas have consequences, and it's not just true in geopolitical circumstances. It's true within the Christian faith. When I say truth under siege, and when I offer a message titled Truth Under Siege, it is because I want people to recognize that the Christian church needs to undergo paradigm changes. Millions, and I mean literally millions, within the historic Christian faith have been sucked into Word of Faith churches, and they have paid the ultimate consequence for the ideas that are being communicated by popular prophecy pundits. Faith is a force. Words are the containers of the force. Through the force of faith, we can create our own reality. And so, a woman with cancer denies the symptom and pays the ultimate price with her life. Ideas of consequences. Or a person buys into the faith movement's distorted meaning of faith, ends up disillusioned, falls out of the back door of a church into the kingdom of the cults. Maybe sipping cyanide, but at least having lost their faith. Ideas of consequences. And cyanide sounds draconian, but think about a person that ends up in a Christless eternity because a word of faith teacher dragged Christ's name through the mud. Think about that for a moment. Well, you don't have to think any farther than Luke chapter 16, where a rich man experiences torment. Jesus told the story. And he wants to go back and warn his five brothers so that they do not come to a place like this. Torment, apart from the goodness and grace of God for all eternity. Think sipping cyanide is bad? Imagine forever. Forever, forever being separated from the grace of God. It's why we do what we do at the Christian Research Institute, because ideas have consequences. Again, Truth Under Siege, the CD, a message I did in Los Angeles, California, available to our constituency as my way of saying thank you for standing with us prayerfully and financially, and we need your support right now. We're in danger of losing a lot of stations because we simply can't pay the bills. We're behind. And we believe that God will provide, but He provides through His people. And that's why we're coming to you, asking you to stand with us prayerfully and financially. If you can't support us financially, please pray for us. Together as we beseech our Heavenly Father, we will receive. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. God ordains the ends as well as the means, and he has ordained you to be the means to keep a message circling the globe. But the only reason I feel at liberty to ask people to stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially is I see the abundant, abiding fruit. It's why I'm involved. That's why I want you to be involved. You can call me at 888-7000-CRI. Let me know you're standing with me. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, but do it today. We're in the summer doldrums. This is make it or break it time, quite frankly. Or you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our phone callers. First up, Tom, he's listening on KGNW in Washington. Hi, Tom.
Oh, hey. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I sure appreciate that. Hey, I have to tell you, the day before yesterday, before I asked my question, I absolutely spent hours on my knees praying while you ministered to that gentleman who was considering suicide. Mm. I'm a firefighter, Hank, for so many years. And we see that kind of stuff when we go out, the tragedy and the difficulty. And we recently had a friend, too, who's had to contend with the thoughts of suicide. And I've actually managed to tell each of them that the most powerful tool that we have is prayer. Hmm. And just as I did, you know, while you were trying to encourage and direct, just started praying. And I've asked them, too, if you really want to leave this earth, then you really need to talk to the one person that has the ability to do that, and that would be Jesus Christ. So pray to him about your entire situation. And I asked him, I said, what part of prayer do you not think God understands? He truly understands way before we even ask. And so fortunately, we've had some success with our friend, and she has turned away from those thoughts. And praise God again for giving us the opportunity to direct and encourage. And it's such a blessing back to us when God works a miracle like that.
And I would be remiss if I didn't immediately thank you before you ask your question for praying, because that's, you know, honestly, when you said that, I could feel the physical reaction of goosebumps on my arm. I mean, to know that someone like yourself that knows as a firefighter what's going on and has experienced the depression that people face and they become suicidal was on their knees praying during that call is just overwhelming. Thank you.
The tears. Unbelievable. But what an opportunity to serve God with our times, talents, and treasures, as you've so often said. And prayer is the most powerful tool.
And you know what, Tom? I mean, what's incredible about this, too, is I'm just thinking about what we're talking about right now and the power of this broadcast. I mean, here you have a guy who is literally asking about suicide, and then there's someone like yourself somewhere in the world. In this case, I guess you're in
Washington,
and you're praying for this person while I'm speaking to this person. It's an indication of the power of live, unscripted radio.
Absolutely. I know for me, I had my close call, and I had a brain aneurysm. And as a firefighter, I can honestly tell you I've never shaken hands a second time with somebody who has had an aneurysm, especially on the brain. It's usually fatal. And when everybody surrounded me with prayer, and when LifeLight got me to a major medical center, Harborview in Seattle, and again, the family with prayer, God worked miracles through the doctor's hands, through the surgeon's hands, and the neurosurgeons went in, opened up, and found where the blood vessel had burst on my brain and repaired it, put me back together, and with rehab and some other things, it wasn't even 8 months later, I actually got a clean bill of health from my neurosurgeon and from the hospital, and I counted, and I shared with him, I said, you know, we were praying for your hands during surgery, we were praying for the nurses, we were praying that God would give you the right decisions and directions when you were working on our dad. And my four sons and my family, we have a beautiful church that we belong to, and the entire body collectively praying for me. And so to be on the receiving end and know what it feels like to be prayed for, it's something that it's pretty impossible to actually share the feeling. All I know is that that is part of what the Holy Spirit is about and part of what God has offered to us through Him is teaching, understanding, so love, joy, peace, the fruits of the Spirit. And so together, you know, we can learn and grow and even as a firefighter understand how things begin to work. But even the great scientists that can't figure out a common cold, and yet neurosurgeons can go in and repair a broken blood vessel. And it's, you know, someday we'll understand. Someday we will, when Dr. Jesus returns. But back to my question, real quick. My wife ran into a gal who wanted to tell her fortune. And she had the wisdom to tell the lady that, hey, I'm a Christian. And fortune telling is done by prophets in our church, and we don't see too many of those nowadays. And so the gal said, well, I'm a Christian too, and I'm thinking, that that's kind of an oxymoron. I don't think it works that way. I think you don't do fortune telling if you're a Christian.
That's
and
absolutely
so we were
true.
Looking for scriptures to give this person to refute that, you know.
The way you want to start with that, Tom, is you want to look at Deuteronomy chapter 18, and you can cross-reference from there through the Bible, but the bottom line answered your question, is in the Christian ethic, God withholds the future from us. Because if we knew what was going to happen in the future, as with your brain aneurysm, you wouldn't want to face the future. But as you've experienced, God gives you the grace you need when you need it, and oftentimes not a moment before. So God gives us enough light to step into a little more light. He doesn't blaze the floodlight down the trail of life. And when we go to alternate sources to find what only God can give to us, which is His mercy and grace, it's an abomination to God, because now we're taking a prerogative that is God's alone, and we're trying to co-opt it for ourselves against His will. Again, Deuteronomy 18, coming to station break. We'll be right back with more.
Get the truth and expose the errors when you order Truth Under Siege on audio CD by Hank Hanegraaff when you call the Christian Research Institute. Our number is 888-7000-CRI. Once again, that's 888-7000-274. Or go online 24 hours a day to our secure website at www.equip.org. Bible Answer Man fans, there are now more ways than ever to interact with the broadcast and Hank Hanegraaff. Besides listening online, podcasting, or reading Hank's blog, you can also access more of Hank through Facebook, Twitter, and our brand new website at www.equip.org, where you can connect with all these new media. That's www.equip.org. Don't touch that dial. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after this. Multitudes of Christians have been given a wildly distorted understanding of the biblical teaching about faith. In the late 20th century, Word of Faith teachers such as Kenneth Hagin and Benny Hinn were at the fore.
The Bible declares clearly that faith is a force.
In the early 21st century, they are overshadowed by a new breed of prosperity preachers with rock star platforms like Joel Osteen and Paula White.
God said to challenge the people to give $66.12 according to Psalm 66:12. When you put your faith with the Word, then you have mandated results.
Hank gives hope and truth to the millions trapped in the faith movement in his landmark book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. To get your copy of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the autographed and limited leather editions.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Our cover story examines the idea of romantic love and ponders its role as the basis for marriage. When Mormon prophet Joseph Smith announced his discovery of the Book of Abraham in 1835, it was heralded as the most important find in biblical studies, older than the Old Testament, and provided the scriptural foundation for the Mormon doctrine of God. Find out why these claims are false. Our Effective Evangelism article provides 10 power-packed arguments for atheists to know that the universe is haunted. Practical Hermeneutics unpacks the question, how was Jesus made sin? And as always, don't miss the popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to John listening on KFAX. Hi, John.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y. Or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith.
It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org.
you appreciate the information you get from the daily broadcast of The Bible Answer Man, our website, equip.org, or our flagship publication, Christian Research Journal, please let us know. We're always encouraged by what God is doing through this ministry.
I've been listening to your show since about December, and I think you are totally awesome. God has blessed you. And I want to thank you for revealing a lot of the false prophets or the false ministries. And I love what you said so much about reading the Word of God as a book. You would not take a piece of a book and try to decipher the whole thing. Read it from the beginning to the end, and then you can get the context of what is actually talking about. Now, I just want to tell you thank you.
If you can make a special gift, you enter into partnership with us as we equip people from around the United States and the world to defend and declare the good news of Jesus Christ. Our outreach on this radio station is made possible through the financial donations and prayerful support of listeners like you. So as you feel led, we would love to have you help us and join the work God is doing through the ministry of CRI. Make no mistake, truth is under siege in the early 21st century. Christianity and the Bible are under attack like never before. A regular, constant, sustained attack on essential Christian doctrines like the Trinity, the deity of Christ, the reliability of the Bible, and the atoning death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. From scholars like Bart Ehrman and magazines like Newsweek. Do you have the answers you need? Order Hank Hanegraaff's brand new Truth Under Siege audio CD, and you'll be equipped to respond when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to our secure website at www.equip.org. And now to tell us more, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Let me mention the audio version of Truth Under Siege available right now to those who support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. And a quick indication to everybody listening in to the broadcast right now, you can go to the World Wide Web at equip.org, and you can see answers to questions on video on the World Wide Web at equip.org. So if there are answers that you are trying to internalize and you've heard the answer on the broadcast, you can also see the answer on the web. So check it out at equip.org on the World Wide Web, because that's what we're trying to do, equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up and strengthened. And testimonies mean a lot to me, because testimonies demonstrate that what you're investing in when you give to this ministry results in abiding and abundant fruit. Here's a Ruthie. Ruthie writes me and says, Hank clarified the sensationalism that I simply could not understand when I first became a believer. I couldn't comprehend the hollering, screaming, and what appeared as loss of control by saints that were, what I thought, drunk or slain in the spirit. But you, Hank, explained how they had worked themselves up into an altered state of consciousness, an altered emotional state. I now find your teaching and spiritual wisdom quite sensible. It's a person that was confused and couldn't put what she saw into a category, didn't realize that these people were being worked up into an altered state of consciousness where black appears white, an altered state of consciousness that obscures reality and enshrines absurdity and can cause you to do all kinds of things that you wouldn't normally do. And the real hell of it, if I may put it that way, is it's done under the guise of Christianity. Why does the Bible tell us to be alert and sober-minded? Because, as Peter puts it, we have an enemy that capitalizes on our altered state of consciousness to cause us to do and say and think what we wouldn't ordinarily do and say and think. He roars, he prowls, he deceives, and he ultimately takes your life. He's a killer. That's why we have to put on the full armor of God so we can withstand the wiles of the evil one. It's why we shouldn't be seduced by the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. It's why we do what we do right here at the Christian Research Institute on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, through our newsletter, through all of the resources you find at equip.org. It's to equip you so you don't fall for a counterfeit under the guise of the real thing. Because look, Satan never exposes his naked deformity. If he did, you wouldn't fall for him. He masquerades as an angel of enlightenment. It sounds so good. But in the end, it's deadly. I want to go to the phone lines, talk to Renee in Glendora, California, listening on KKLA. Hi, Renee.
How are you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well. Good talking to you.
Likewise. Thanks for taking my call. Hank, my question is regarding the emergent church and where, what are some of the main points of the emergent church, and where they differ from evangelical or what we understand as Orthodox Christianity. So that's essentially my essential question. There's been a couple of questions or concerns that I've had with one of the churches that we've been visiting in this new town we're at, and the reoccurring of one of the books of Brian McLaren on their resource table. And so I was just a little cautious regarding that. I just wanted to hear what you've been able to investigate or research regarding the emergent church.
Yeah, well, let me put it to you simply. There are emergent evangelicals. They have a hip message that's orthodox, and they communicate it in a hip manner. But they're communicating an orthodox message. But there's also emergent liberals, and they have an unorthodox message. Maybe they're hip, but the message is not orthodox. And you mentioned one of them, Brian McLaren. Another one would be Rob Bell. Rob Bell says, and I'm actually looking at an article right now, ironically, in the Christian Research Journal, which is called Navigating the Emerging Church Highway. So this article comes from the Christian Research Journal, and the journal is available through the Christian Research Institute. You can subscribe to it. You can get this article online. But Rob Bell, who's one of the emergent church leaders of a liberal persuasion, says, and I quote, "If Jesus had a real earthly biological father named Larry, and if archaeologists prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the virgin birth was really just a bit of mythologizing the gospel writers threw in to appeal to the followers of Mithra and to religious cults, we would essentially not lose any significant part of our faith because it's more about how we live." In other words, it's not about doctrine such as the incarnation. It's about how we live. But as I've said on this broadcast many times, ideas have consequences. And by the way, the ghastly consequence of not believing in the incarnation and finding the tomb of Larry, who is the biological father of Jesus, if that were true, the Bible would be false. Mary would have been a sexually promiscuous woman. I mean, the consequences are dramatic for the historic Christian faith. It's not about orthopraxy alone. It's about orthodoxy. That's why we can say that the martyrs spilled their blood for essential Christian doctrine, including the incarnation and the resurrection and the deity, the unique deity of Jesus Christ. Doctrine matters. If you look at the Apostle Paul, how does he write Ephesians, a classic case in point? Three chapters on doctrine, three chapters on the practical application of that doctrine. And he says to young Timothy, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them. For if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. It's not one to the neglect of the other. And unfortunately, in the emergent church, Doctrine has almost become a dirty word among the emergent liberals. Again, the article is in the Christian Research Journal. You should get a hold of the article. It'll fill you in on the details. Fair enough?
Yes, actually, thank you. And that was where? I'm sorry.
Christian Research Journal. You can find it on the World Wide Web at equip.org. It's titled Navigating the Emerging Church Highway. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Andrea. She's listening at WFIA, Jeffersonville, Indiana. Hi, Andrea.
Hi. God bless you. I just love you, Hank. God bless you. And please know that, you know, I do support financially, but that not as well as, of course, I'd like to, but prayerfully, you're right there. You, your family, your staff, God bless you, and I love you.
Thank you.
Okay. My question for you is, what is the biblical difference between intelligent design and creationism? And I have that awesome Ben Stein movie and or documentary, and it has taught me quite a bit. I've been doing some little research here and there, but I'm still a little bit stuck. Could you help me, please?
Yeah, intelligent design lets the facts lead wherever they may, which is to say that they don't start with the presupposition that God created the universe, but rather they look at intelligence and design, intelligent design, and they see through intelligent design irreducible complexity in biological systems. They see the universe around us on a macro scale, and they ultimately come to the conclusion that you would be closed-minded to explain everything, such as irreducible complexity, through mere philosophical naturalism. And therefore, they invoke the possibility that there could be the supernatural, that there can be a God. In other words, design predisposes a designer. And they come to the conclusion that it is irresponsible to suggest that nothing produces everything. Now, creationism, on the other hand, starts with a presupposition, and that presupposition is that there is a rational God who orders the world according to rational principles, and we get that presupposition from the Bible. So they start with the Bible, and they argue onward. Both have a significant place. But the intelligent design movement isn't necessarily telling us immediately about the nature of God as the Bible does. But the intelligent design movement is a very credible, useful movement that has done a tremendous amount of good in defeating philosophical naturalism at its core. As Ben Stein, for example, who is a Jewish comedian and social a commentator, has demonstrated in his wonderful movie.
Okay.
Does that help?
That is awesome. Yes, and just to help, how do I continue the process of seeing this? Of course, I'm a Christian, and I know I believe. It's just when I look at dinosaurs living at the same time as human beings, it honestly hits me in the gut, and I don't know. Maybe that's because of the way I was brought up. I'm 30 years old. Maybe that's the way evolution was in my books growing up, you know, so maybe that's why. But
well, Christians differ on that, Andrea, though. I mean, if you look at it, there are some Christians that are young earth creationists and some who are progressive creationists, some that say dinosaurs lived at the same time as human beings, and others that say, no, they predated human beings by a long spell in the same day age. Much more could be said. I think that the book of nature answers that question rather than the Bible. The Bible doesn't specifically address that issue. We'll be right back.
Order Truth Under Siege on audio CD by Hank Hanegraaff for your gift to CRI to help us equip you and the body of Christ for battle when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. At the Christian Research Institute, our ministry is supported in so many different ways, and one of those ways involves non-cash assets. These assets include things like cars or real estate, and just as with cash donations, these gifts are tax deductible. To find out more about the types of non-cash gifts that you can donate to the work and ministry in the various outreaches of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just visit our website at www.equip.org. And once there, click on the Donate button and then select the Give a Non-Cash Donation option. Hank will be right back after these messages.
Hey, Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
The Word of Promise, New Testament Audio Bible, presented in dramatic audio theater, starring Jim Caviezel as Jesus.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
And Stacy Keach as Paul.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved.
Plus the voices of over 100 actors. Original music score by award-winning Italian composer Stefano Manetti. The New Testament presented and performed in over 25 hours of inspiration and devotion. The Word of Promise, New Testament Audio Bible. Be transformed. Be enlightened. Breathe in the Word of God like never before. Hear the Bible come alive in dramatic audio theater. The Word of Promise.
Call CRI and order the Word of Promise New Testament Audio Bible today at 888-7000-CRI or on our safe and secure website at www.equip.org.
It's the 21st century and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus and Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition. Today, too many Christians feel that the war against truth and the Bible has already been lost in the battle of postmodernism. A survey of many college and university campuses would lead one to believe that surviving Christian soldiers or other prisoners of war still harboring a belief in objective truth are hunkered down in their foxholes, totally outnumbered and believing they're out of ammunition. The Truth Under Siege audio CD by Hank Hanegraaff is a well-reasoned and inspiring weapon you can fight back with and give to a friend, too. Order now when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
So little time, so many questions, they keep pouring in, and do remember that I have a book called The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, and for those of you that can give $100 or more to keep this ministry on the air, and we need your support, I'll personalize the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. Many of the questions that people ask are codified in The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. It's available when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can order online as well on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Leonard, KPRZ, San Diego, California. Hi, Leonard.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing? Good to hear you.
That's good to talk to you.
So, Hank,
first of all, I just want to let you know I really appreciate your ministry. It's been a blessing for me, and I've been listening to you. I've been listening to Bible Answer Man ever since Walter Martin has been was doing it, and it's been a big help for me and sharing the gospel. But I have a question, and the question is related to the issue of judging. I received a letter from someone who's dear to me who basically sent me a statement saying that that it is not biblical to judge. In fact, what they did, they used out of Luke where it says, judge not lest you be judged, and if you have the beam in your eye, taking a speck out of your brother's eye. I looked at it, and I did look it over, and I did some research, and what I came up with is that I disagree, and I'm not going to go through all of the verses that I hit on, but the basic verse that I used was out of 1 Timothy, where it talks about reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering, and I forget the exact word, excuse me, but a little nervous right now, but basically what I believe, and I'd like you to let me know if I'm right or not, but I believe that judging is biblical if it's done in love and not, I can't judge a person's heart. I can't judge where they stand in Christ. I can judge the actions of that person if those actions or what they say is contrary to Scripture. And the Bible, I believe, even commands us to do so. And I believe that in Revelation, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came against three of the churches, which Pergamos, Thyatira, and because of the fact that of their lack of judgment and what happened to those churches, the destruction of those churches themselves. And so I guess what I'm saying is that I believe that judging is biblical, but I believe that it should be done very discreetly. You don't just point the finger at someone, you know. And if anything, it's in love, and you have to examine yourself first to see that if you're gonna judge that person, or you know what that person is doing, that first your heart is right and you're doing it out of love and not out of condemnation. And I like your input on that.
Well, you know, I don't know that I can do any better than what you just did, Leonard, because actually you're spot on in your analysis. Jesus does say in the Sermon on the Mount, do not judge or you too will be judged. For with the same measure you judge, it will be measured to you.
Mm.
And then Jesus says, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So Jesus there is saying, don't judge self-righteously or hypocritically, just as you have pointed out, Leonard. And beyond that, Jesus says that when we judge, we should judge, but using a right standard. And by the way, John codifies that in John chapter 7, verse 24. So, yes, we are to judge, but when we judge, we have to use a right measure, not self-righteously or hypocritically, ultimately testing all things in light of Scripture, holding fast to that which is good. In fact, the Apostle Paul counted the Bereans as being more noble, for daily they examined the Scriptures to judge, or to see if these things were true. So they're using the Bible as their standard of judgment. But you've also made another very significant point, and that is, we can't ultimately judge a person's eternal destiny. That's the province of the Holy Spirit, and we dare not trample upon what is the province of God.
Right, right. That's the point that I was trying to make, but I guess whenever, you know, it seems as if it was the response was it was a blanket thing that instead I should use discernment instead of judging. And I said, well, discernment lets the individual know through the Holy Spirit if something is right or wrong, as according to the Scripture. That, you know, you don't just come out of the air and boom, I've discerned this, but it should be in line with Scripture. But after you make that discernment, the action is a judgment. You have to make a judgment action.
Of course.
And I used 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 7, when Paul made a sharp reprimand. In Galatians chapter 1, when Paul even mentions that someone preaching any other gospel should, you know, even an angel from heaven should be damned. And in Galatians chapter 2, Paul judged Peter's actions and even reproved them to his face. And so, you know, and I mean, I can go on and
hey,
on.
You're judging right now. Leonard, you're judging right now. You're judging by a right standard because you're using Scripture.
I'm using Scripture, and the response was, you know, you're taking it out of context, and it's supposed to be in love, you know. And I said, well, you know, love tells the truth. love is not just a mushy-mushy, I love you, whatever goes, because if that's the case, I could have, you know, people doing all kinds of weird things in church, and I sit right there next to them, and before you know, the whole church is polluted, and no one says anything, because we just love everybody. And that, you know, that's my point. And that's,
if you're nervous, Leonard, I'd hate to see you when you're not nervous, because I'll tell you what, you just absolutely nailed the answer to the question. All I did was sort of add a little bit to it, but you've got the right perspective on judging. We shouldn't judge self-righteously or hypocritically. When we judge, we need to use a right standard, and as you've pointed out, we have to do so in love. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Anthony, KFIA, Sacramento, California. Hi, Anthony.
Hello, Hank. How are you doing? I got a real quick question.
Okay.
Resurrection. Can people be resurrected in modern-day time through prayer? It's been brought to my attention that this has happened in recent time and can happen.
Well, theoretically, can it happen? Yes, because I can't put God in a box such that he cannot resurrect the dead. Practically, though, does it happen? No. In other words, there are a lot of people talking about resurrections, and I'm not supposing that it hasn't ever happened. I don't know, but every single case that I have investigated turned out to be a dead end. And the people that were making the claim ended up dragging Christ's name through the mud. And by the way, why should we have to even point to modern-day resurrections when we have the ultimate case of resurrection with Jesus Christ? And Jesus promised that because he rose, we too will rise. When? At the end of time, when he returns, we will be resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, as pointed out in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In the meantime, can it happen? Of course it can happen. Does it? If it does, it would be very unusual. We would say it's not normative. So when you hear the counterfeit revivalists claim that hundreds are being raised from the dead in all these faraway places, and they've seen it firsthand, ask them for names and addresses. You will have crickets in response. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Sherry, KFIA, Sacramento, California. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, a little nervous. Thank you very much for what you and your family sacrifice for what you do. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry.
I wanted to ask you, when you die, do you go to sleep and then you're awakened, or are you present with the Lord?
Yeah, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And Paul has this great dilemma because he knows that to stay, he can be the apostle to the Gentiles and impact the lives of people. And he's decided that he wants to do that, but there's this urge to go and be with the Lord, for he says that is far better. It wouldn't be far better because he's dead like a dog. He's sleeping and he has no conscious awareness. It would be better because he is in fellowship with his Redeemer. And that's ultimately what happens. When you die, you're absent from the body. The non-corporeal, the non-physical part of your body is present with the Lord in community, in fellowship with the Lord. And that's why Paul says, and that is far better. So you can have conscious awareness apart from the body. And that's what Paul is alluding to, and that's what everyone who has died in Christ is now experiencing, and they're going to experience ultimate life when their souls are returned to their bodies, and that happens when the Lord returns, which is yet future to us. He has not appeared a second time, but he will, as the Bible so ardently and eloquently promises.
Thank you.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. God bless you. And, you know, it's always bittersweet at the end of a day. I look at the board as I'm doing right now, and there's so many people still hanging on that want their questions answered, and I can't get to you because I just don't have enough time. But there are answers to your questions. You can find them in so many different ways. One, subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. It's a subscription magazine no Christian home should be without. If you're not subscribing, remedy that woeful condition right now. You can do that on the World Wide Web at equip.org, equip.org. When you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, you can talk to our Resource Consultants at 888-7000-CRI. And if you can support this ministry, please do so. The answers keep coming because you're standing with us prayerfully and financially. For your gift of $100 or more, I'll send you the complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition. Many of the questions that people are hanging on, wanting to ask right now, answered in the complete Bible Answer Book, a Collector's Edition, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. And again, for $100 or more, I'll personalize it. It will help our ministry. It'll be a great memorial for you, a token of our appreciation. Truth Under Siege, it's a CD, a message I gave in Los Angeles, California. It's available for your gift to the ministry right now. Just ask for Truth Under Siege. It's the CD you're asking for, and we'll send it out to you for your gift to the ministry, and all that can participate would be deeply appreciated right now. Write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can order in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Thanks for tuning in today. We look forward to seeing you next time on the next edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Truth is under siege. Hank Hanegraaff has encapsulated the spirit of Truth Under Siege in a new audio CD remembering the lives of the great Christian reformers, lives of men like John Wycliffe, John Huss, and Martin Luther, as well as the biblical prophet Jeremiah, who each exemplified the transforming power of a testimony tried by fire. In Hank Hanegraaff's Truth Under Siege, he reminds us that just as the great reformers and prophets of old were willing to give their utmost for God's highest, not only in the public square, but each and every moment of the day, we too, as followers of Christ, need to realize the paramount importance of redeeming each moment of our lives for the cause of the precious Redeemer. Be inspired to stand for truth and make a difference in your sphere of influence when you hear Hank Hanegraaff's Truth Under Siege, delivered in Los Angeles earlier this year. Order your copy on audio CD for your gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to our secure website anytime at www.equip.org. We are pleased to bring to your attention a different way for us to be involved together. CRI is able and, in fact, eager to offer charitable gift annuities as a way of partnering with our ministry. Charitable gift annuities have been an important tool in the nonprofit community for over 170 years. For the right person, they can enhance your retirement income, reduce taxes, and at the same time create a gift to the Christian Research Institute at your death. The charitable gift annuity offers very attractive interest rates depending upon your age. To learn more, visit us at www.equip.org and click on the donate button and then planned giving. From there, if you'd like more personalized assistance, just submit a contact form and we'll be in touch with you. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
Multitudes of Christians have been given a wildly distorted understanding of the biblical teaching about faith. In the late 20th century, Word of Faith teachers such as Kenneth Hagin and Benny Hinn were at the fore.
The Bible declares clearly that faith is a force.
In the early 21st century, they are overshadowed by a new breed of prosperity preachers with rock star platforms like Joel Osteen and Paula White.
God said to challenge the people to give $66.12 according to Psalm 66:12. When you put your faith with the word, then you have mandated results.
Hank gives hope and truth to the millions trapped in the faith movement in his landmark book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. To get your copy of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the autographed and limited leather editions.